Okay, welcome everybody. Tonight, we're going to dedicate our Torah study, and it should be a Shmira for all of the Chayalim, that Hashem should bring back all of them whole and very soon, and bring back all the Chatufim, and bring Simcha and Ora to all the Yehudim, wherever they are. Bezrat Hashem. So we're going to learn, here's the plan, we're going to cover Tainis Esther, and hopefully, Yishloach Manos, Matanot La'Evyonim, a little bit about the Suda, a little bit about drinking Yain, continuing our theme of Yain. We'll get more about Yain next week. But I thought we'd take a quick break from Yain in general to the Yain of Purim, and all of that in the next 25 to 30 minutes. Let's begin with Tainis Esther, which as it is coming soon. And of course, if you have any questions, we'll always be happy to field the questions, but I'll make it in segments. So, okay, in each segment. So let's start with Tainis Esther. Tainis Esther is a Tainis. It's a fast. It's unique in that it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Did you know? It's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned by the Gaonim. I think it's first mentioned by Rav Achai Gaon. So it's a minhag, according to most shitas. Some say it's Darabanan, but it's a minhag that was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it is a mandatory fast. Sorry, guys, it is a mandatory fast. One moment, someone is trying to join the shir, so 1 second, sorry, friend. When does the fast start? If I'm not mistaken, it starts at Alot HaShachar, which is really early. But the truth is, 4:09 according to the clock in Efrat, which is really early because Alot's really early these days. But if you didn't take a Tanai upon yourself, then you're really not. If you, let's say you went to bed and you wake, oh, it's 3:47. I could still have my bran flakes. But the thing is that if you went to bed, we assume that you took upon yourself that you're going to fast. So you have to make a Tanai. You have to say, I intend, if I wake up in the morning, to eat before the fast. So if you want to have your bran flakes at 3:45 in the morning, make sure you do it all Tanai. Okay? Excellent.
Question.
Yeah, question.
What if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're not starting your day? You didn't even plan it. You just happen to wake up and you just want
to. You're really not supposed to eat then, because when you went to bed, it's assumed that you're taking the fast upon yourself. And so even at 3 a.m, if I'm not mistaken, you're not supposed to eat.
Not supposed to eat at 3 a.m.
In general, it's not a great idea to eat cheese at 3 a.m, truthfully. Okay, but yeah, if anyone here is pregnant, then we can talk. Unless you're a woman, and then that's fine. But yes, pregnant women are exempt. Okay? The Gemara does say that there was a man who once got pregnant, so you never know. But pregnant women are exempt like all the minor fasts, if I'm not mistaken. Also, someone nursing, and also someone seriously sick. What does that mean? They can't get out of their bed. They're really sick. Then you're exempt from the fast. Again, like all the minor fasts. Tainis Esther has the same laws as all of the minor fasts. But it has major significance, as we'll learn about in a moment. Now, again, what is the reason why we fast? So there's 3 different rationales given by different commentators.
Can I say a quick question?
Yeah, sure. Mandatory fast. Why do we fast? Let's give 3 rationales.
Celebrating. It's a celebrating fast.
Okay, so let's get to that. For first explanation is that it's a Zechar Le Esther. After all, we call it Tainis Esther. Now, when did Esther fast? Who remembers? Esther fasted on Pesach. Esther fasted 3 days on Pesach. So wait a second. Esther fasted on Pesach. Shouldn't we fast like maybe closer to Pesach time? What's going on here?
Or at least we should fast three days.
You know, there are actually word tzaddikim, like the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, would fast 3 days as a zecher. Mamish to be like Esther around the time of Pesach time, or after Purim, the different minhagim. We don't do that. Most people don't do that as far as I know. But some explain that even though it happened at Pesach time, we want to remember Esther's fast. And when we do it before Purim. So we place the remembrance for Esther before Purim. Now, what are we remembering about Esther's fast? We're remembering how she had to come before King Ahasuerus. So you'd think she'd, put her makeup on. But no, what does Esther do? She fasts the exact opposite of what we would think is logical, because she recognizes that who's going to really help her overcome this challenge? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, she fasts to do tshuva, recognizing that only through tshuva can we overcome our challenges in life. So to remember that heroic act of Esther, we have to fast. Okay, so that's one explanation as to why we're fasting tomorrow. Second explanation is that there used to be a custom to fast before we went to war. We see this in the story with Shaul and Yonatan, that they're fasting when they go to war. So the Jewish people used to fast when they go to war. Again, counterintuitive, because usually you would think you got to beef up on your dates before you go to war. No, we used to fast because we realized that it's only through our tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us overcome our enemies. So on the 13th of Adar, as we learned today, the Jews had to go up against their enemies. And that was the real challenge, okay? Not just the Horsi and Haman. We had to beat all these Hamasnik Amalekites. And what did the Yidden do? They fasted. And they showed, even though we don't have a source for this, but they showed that they're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we too, on the 13th of Adar, fast to remind ourselves whenever we're in a challenging situation, we should do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us overcome our enemies. So this year, we're not going to fast on the 13th of Adar because it's Purim, it's Shabbos, it's Shabbat. So therefore, we push it off earlier to Thursday because doing tshuva tomorrow will still mezake us to overcome our enemies. And according to that second explanation, this year's Tainus Esther is especially pertinent and relevant because we're in a war. So all the more so, we need to fast and do tshuva so that we overcome our enemies. Because that's explanation number two. Got it, guys? Okay, great. Third explanation. This one is a based on Rav Soloveitchik. He writes it in his book. I think it's called, Days of Deliverance. I don't remember. But I remember reading his beautiful explanation that we see that oftentimes in Judaism, you can't have true joy unless you have repentance. Unless you have tshuva. Only when we do tshuva and we're shalem on a neshama level, then we can have true simcha. So the fasting of Tainus Esther, unlike all the other fasts, which are sad fasts, there's an element of happiness because it's not about being sad. It's about doing tshuva. And once we do true tshuva, then our simcha, when we come to Purim, will be a real simcha. Okay? So it's actually a happy fast because we're doing tshuva. Third explanation based on Rav Soloveitchik's sefer. Now you might ask, well, what do we got to do tshuva for? Well, probably a lot of things that everyone should ask themselves. What do I personally have to do tshuva? But on a klali level, we can ask ourselves, well, what got us into this whole mess in the first place? It was going to that meal and overindulging in physicality and not understanding, not being a Yid, caring about Am Yisrael, caring about rebuilding the base of Migdash, instead just, you know, drinking away our sorrows and feasting at that meal and not joining Am Yisrael in the Shivat Zion and rebuilding Yerushalayim. So we can think about the sins that got the Jews into trouble in the first place in Shushan and ask ourselves, how can we rectify those sins on Tainus Esther? Okay? Now, one important point that a lot of people don't know, which is that even though it's called a minor fast, it is the most major significance. Why so? Because, explains many, many Kabbalists, and this is brought down in many, many different Sfarim, that, you know, the holidays are living entities. Whatever the energy that happened, every year the energy of Purim comes back, Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh, the energy of Hanukkah comes back, and the energy of Purim is such that there was a decree. There was mamash a decree by, well, we thought it was by Haman, but really it was by Hashem. Because if there was a decree upon the head of all the Jews, Hashem made the decree. And on Purim, we pushed off the decree. But the decree was never nullified. The decree of Purim is still there. So every year on Tainus Esther, we have to once again nullify the decrees, explain the Kabbalists on the Jewish people. We have to nullify those decrees. And on Tainus Esther, by doing proper tshuva, we can re-push off those that decree, so it won't hurt us. And the Kabbalists say that these decrees actually came upon us in 1648, 1649, during that terrible time period. So it's super duper important that we do tshuva on Tainus Esther to nullify any decrees that are on the Jewish people. Okay, I saw we had some questions. Ariel, you had a question? Tainus Esther. First of all, in terms of the laws, it's like a regular fast. There's Avinu Malkeinu. We don't eat and drink. We have special prayers. Now, Avinu Malkeinu at Mincha, if it would be coming into Purim, we would skip and not do Tachanun. But since this year it comes out on Thursday, we will do Avinu Malkeinu and Tachanun. We'll do leaning. We'll add in the during Shema Kolenu, the special Anenu, just like every other fast day.
Can't fast before holiday.
Oh, it's a good caution. Normally, it's written in the holy books that you're not supposed to fast before a holiday. But Tainus Esther is an exception. Tainus Esther, actually, we are allowed to fast before Purim. Tainus Esther is in a category on its own, maybe because it's such a happy fast, sad happy fast. So it's true, but it's a different situation, Tainus Esther, than the normal fast. Okay. By the way, interesting kasha. Everybody knows that Purim is going to exist even Bimei Mashiach. It's the only holiday which is going to be during the Yimei Mashiach. What about Tainus Esther? Are we still going to fast before Purim? Before Purim? The answer is, I don't know. We'll find out. But maybe you could say, if according to Rav Soloveitchik's approach, it's part of it's a package deal, so then maybe we'll still fast. Maybe. Okay. The Machzitz Shekel. There's a minog to give 3 half shekels or 3 half dollars, whatever the currency is, or the 10 grams, which is the weight of a half a shekel.
Actually,
and we.
Today's price for a shekel is $25 an ounce.
Okay.
So if you give half a shekel, you should give about 12 and a half.
Baina says it's $12.50. Okay, so it'd be expensive if you go according to the Kaf Chaim and that approach. If you want to save some money, you go like the standard Ashkenazi approach. Give a shekel and a half. Give for 20-year-olds and above. Some say give only for 13-year-olds and above. Give for your children, is the minhag according to the Mishnah Brura. And give some machzis a shekel. Okay?
Tomorrow,
during Tainus Esther. If you forget to... Vaida of Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is an extremely spiritually powerful day. So what should you do? Daven. You can daven Nates. Great idea. Always great, but especially tomorrow, since it's such a special day to daven. And say Tehillim for all of Am Yisrael, especially the 21st Tehillim? 22nd Tehillim? Kaylee Kaylee is said to be extremely spiritually powerful. After and say a personal hisboidus. Talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu in your own personal language. Do a cheshba nefesh. How am I doing spiritually? And the gates of rachamim, the Kabbalists say, will be opened up for you. And what I think I like to do is ask myself, what's my Purim going to look like? If Purim is mamish, the highest, holiest day of the year, then I have to prepare myself for that. Who do I want to give mishloach manos to? What's my Seder Avoida? What's my Seder going to look like? Etc. Use Tainus Esther as a preparation day spiritually for Purim. If we do proper tshuva, then we'll be ready for Purim. Shabbat Aleinu L'Toivah. Okay, so that's a little bit about Tainus Esther. Now let's jump to Purim. Any questions before we do Purim Torah? Good. Okay, really fast, because this shir is meant to be boom, boom. Mishloach manos, matanot yavonim. Both of these mitzvahs are meant to bring camaraderie, achdus, simcha to the Jewish people. That's the greatest tikkun. That's what Haman said we didn't have. More achdus, more giving, more love. If you could go out of your way and give mishloach manos to someone who you don't normally give, you know, have such a relationship with, matov, go to your neighbors, go to people that you're normally like, I see him around, and mamash just go and give him mishloach manos. That will bring a lot of camaraderie. Give the people you love. Give the people you hate. Just give. Mamash, just give. That's what Mishloach Manos is all about. If you could write a nice little letter in your Mishloach Manos, that's beautiful. You do not have to match your costume to to a Mishloach Manos theme. That's just cute. That's just a minhag, but it's not an ikker. It's not the ikker mitzvah. For Mishloach Manos, all you have to give is two manos to one person. That's it. What does a manos have to be? Two food items. Yes, it can be the same bracha. It can be a food and a drink. It can be two foods. Some say it's better not to do just one food and a drink, but it's lemaisa, we're not machmir about that. It should be something, all you have to do is give one person. So that one person that you're giving, it should be mechubadik. It should be something that is, ra'ui. Ra'ui for them, whatever you think is ra'ui. You know? Don't give them one pistachio and a half plum. You know? Something mechubadik.
It should be a meal or
it should be enough. It should be enough to be, ideally, it should be something that could be eaten during the meal. And if you can, ideally, you can even give someone a meal. That's the best way. You can invite someone to your meal, and then you can literally go and say, here's your salami, and here's your, your wine. That's an amazing way to fulfill the inyan of Mishloach Manot. Remember, it has to be given during the day. Okay? You want to give people at night? Hey, never a problem. But the mitzvah has to be done. Yemei Purim, it has to be done during the day. Very good. That's Mishloach Manot. Okay? It shouldn't be a lot of mice, that's all you have to know. Okay, matanas yavyoinim. Matanas yavyoinim is the ikker mitzvah of Purim. The ikker mitzvah, because we're giving to those who really need it, yavyoinim, and the Rambam writes, you should try to give as much as you give to Mishloach Manos, at least that to matanas yavyoinim. Minimally a meal's worth to two poor people. Lemaisa, if they're married, you can give to a husband and wife, but it has to be given bo bayom. It has to be given that day. Minimally, let's say 15, 20 shekel, but if you can give more, better. If you say, I can't afford it, if you want, you can give, and you can take the extra money. If you gave 1,000 shekels of matanot levyanim, you can count that from your meiser money that you normally give that month. Sorry? Honestly, it's a baras. It's a big simcha when you get to give a poor person. You make their Purim. Like we learned before, the Chasam Sofer says the whole reason for Mishloach Manos is to be also give to Matanos, the Avyoinim. And it's an incredible schus to be lift people's spirits. As we learned today, anyone who asks you for money, you should give. You don't have to give a lot of money, but you should give them a half a shekel. Give them something. Give them a hug. Give them a chocolate coin. Koila poiskim. You give to everyone, then you can daven, and Hashem will give you. So that's the inyan of giving tzedakah. It makes us happy. And that's the inyan of giving tzedakah to everyone on Purim. I'm not going to cover Megillah tonight. Okay, we're going to save that for another shir, Bezrat Hashem, the laws of Megillah. One last halacha about wine on Purim. But we have a question first. Do you have a question or a comment? No? Leroy's got to go. Seder. We'll see you later. It was great hanging out. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. Could be. You never know. Okay, one last thing. We recorded too, so I can send it to you. Okay, yayin. What's the deal with yayin? There's a mitzvah called chayiv inish levesume. There's a mitzvah called drinking until you don't know the difference between haman and Mordechai on Purim. So the question is, do we take that literally or not? So there's two shitas. So one shita of the Rush and the Riff is yes. You should get drunk to the point where your mamish don't know what's flying. Okay? But chas v'sholem, if you know yourself and that's going to lead you to do a virus, to even miss benching, to treat people incorrectly, to act like a behema, then that is inappropriate. And that is not, even on Purim, that is inappropriate. On the other hand, there's another opinion that says not literally, you should not literally get drunk, but rather you should drink more than you normally would, get a little tipsy, vizeu. That's because we don't paskin the chai vinish, the vavsume, and drink a little bit extra until it makes you simchadik. But you don't have to go crazy. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually, interestingly, thought that it's only b'di'evid drinking. Ideally, you should just be happy off of Purim itself. But only someone who's not able to get that inner state of simcha should medicate himself, so to speak, with a little bit of wine. But in the days of Mashiach, we're not going to need wine. And ideally, we should get to a place of the true simcha should be from the geula of Purim, from the mitzvahs of Purim, from the camaraderie of Purim, from the love of Purim. In any case, if you're going to drink on Purim, the mitzvah is during the seuda. Okay? So if you want to drink at night, that's fun, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only during the seuda. And Rav Melamed points out very, very wisely, if you're going to drink, drink slowly. Because often, you don't feel the effects of the wine until about 20 minutes after you had that drink.
If you're drinking and eating, you don't feel the wine.
Right. So if you're drinking, you should drink a cup, eat, wait a half hour, then have another cup. I'm talking about during the seuda. And in this way, you won't go crazy, and you'll still enjoy and dance and sing. And most poskim write that this does not apply to women. They can have a l'chaim of wine, for sure, but it's considered not proper for women to get drunk. So for those men folk who choose to drink, they should do it in a responsible way. They should do it in a way that brings out their sod, brings out their inner joy and goodliness. And if they see 1 year that it doesn't bring the good out of them, then they should refrain. If they see it's leading to bad habits, alcoholism, etc., then they should refrain. Everyone should get to know themselves, and it should only be lead them to love and kindness and giving and greater connection to Torah and mitzvos. Okay. Any questions and thoughts or comments before we wrap up for tonight? We're happy? Great. You're happy. I'm happy. Banish is happy. We're all happy. Have a happy Purim. We'll see you next week in our Halacha Chabura. And we have Rav Shlomo on we have a shir.